In running the race of faith, as we noticed in the first three verses of chapter 12 of Hebrews, we saw the need to lay aside things that would hinder us, especially the sin of unbelief. Having endurance, even as Jesus endured the hostility and the cross, we need to focus our gaze on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, whose own example should encourage us not to become weary and discouraged. After reminding his readers of the value of the Lord's chastening, the writer of Hebrews returns to the metaphor of running. In verses 12 through 17 of our text today, he talks in 12 and 13 that we should run with a call to run with style. In verse 14, he says, with instructions to pursue peace and holiness. And in verses 15 through 17, with a word of caution appealing to the example of Esau. Now, one way to describe the Christian race then is the pursuit of peace and holiness. How well are you doing in your pursuit? Do you know what it is you are to be running after? Are you aware of the possible pitfalls that can hinder you? To encourage excellence in regards to our pursuit, let's take a closer look at the passage of Hebrews 12, verses 12 through 17. Again, he talks about in verses 12 and 13 that we need to make preparation for our pursuit. He offers here that we should have a call to run with style. We are to strengthen the hands which hang down and to strengthen the feeble knees. That's a common figure of speech if you go back to the Old Testament in Job 4 and Isaiah 35, calling us to shake off all weariness, to be firm, and to be strong. We're to make straight paths for our feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather may be healed. Again, that's another common expression going back to Isaiah 40. And what he's doing here is encouraging us to remove all things that would hinder our progress, especially if we know that we're weak. Now, the implications of this call. First, we have to respond to this call to action. This is something that we are called to do. We cannot expect God to do it all. Now, while God certainly will help us, we must make the effort on our own. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Now, this call to action is not limited to strengthening just yourself. And certainly, there is the personal application. But as concerned Christians, we should be looking to strengthen the hands and feeble knees of others, to make straight paths for others, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. And just as those who are spiritual should be concerned for the weakness of others, Galatians 6 and verse 1. So in a way, this call is similar to the one the Lord gave to Joshua in Joshua 1 verses 6 through 9, which Joshua later gave to Israel at the close of the book in chapter 23 verses 6 and 11. So will we heed, will we listen to the call to be strong and very courageous? In other words, to run with style. Now, for some thoughts about verse 14, where he mentions the goal of our pursuit. Peace with all men. We shouldn't be surprised to read that we are to pursue peace. After all, Isaiah 9 and verse 6 says that Jesus was going to be the Prince of Peace. And he died to make peace possible with God and with man. Romans 5 and verse 1 and Ephesians 2, 13 through 17. Jesus taught that peacemakers will be called the children of God in the Sermon on the Mount, in his Beatitudes, if you will, in Matthew 5 and verse 9. And he said, Paul tells us that peace is a key element of the kingdom of God. Romans 14, 17 and 18. So we are to pursue peace with all men, Romans 14 and Romans 12. But then how does one pursue peace with all men? Proverbs 16 and verse 7 tells us that we do so by seeking peace with God first. We must first make our relationship with God what it ought to be. Romans 5 verse 1 says that that's through Jesus And it's through Jesus that we can be at peace with God. Letting the peace of God rule in our hearts, Colossians 3:15. The Lord is able to give you peace always in every way, 2 Thessalonians 3. So how the Lord imparts peace? Well, again, the psalmist tells us that it's through his word, Psalm 119, verse 165. Paul tells us that it's through prayer, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. So if one is not at peace with himself, then it's unlikely that he can be at peace with others. And Paul would tell us in Romans 14, verse 19, that by doing this, doing things that make for peace, then we are being considerate of their conscience, Romans 14, verses 13 through 21, and we're seeking unity with compassion, with love, tenderness, and courtesy, and we're willing to respond to evil or reviling with a blessing, 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 11. But also this goal of our pursuit is not only peace with all men, but it's holiness without which no one can see the Lord. As God is holy, so his children must be holy. 1 Peter 1, 1 Thessalonians 4. Again, how can one pursue holiness? Well, true holiness or sanctification comes through faith in Jesus, Acts 26, Hebrews 10. And it comes through the work of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Thessalonians 2, and Titus chapter 3. It comes through the Word of God, John 17. We cooperate with God in pursuing holiness by offering ourselves as slaves of righteousness. Romans chapter 6, verses 19 through 22, that's what Paul tells us. And perfecting holiness in the fear of God, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. And that includes cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Again, Paul in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. And also putting on the new man in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 4, Colossians 3. You know, in many respects, this is what the Christian life is all about. Pursuing peace and holiness. How successful we are will depend on how diligently we avoid what's mentioned in the next three verses. Verses 15 through 17 of our text talks about pitfalls that hinder our pursuit. Falling short of the grace of God. Without God's grace, none of us can be saved. We can't pursue peace or have the holiness necessary to see God. But do Christians need to concern themselves with falling from grace? Well, let's consider some scriptures. In Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3, there's a warning given there not to neglect our great salvation. There's another warning in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, about not being hardened by sin. There's another warning in Hebrews, as well as 2 Peter 1, about being diligent. We need to be diligent. We must be diligent. Again, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 31, talks about the warning against willful sin. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, gives a warning not to receive God's grace in vain. And he speaks to the brethren at Galatia, in the churches of Galatia, in Galatians 5 and verse 4, warning them not to fall from grace. The warning to look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for. 2 John verse 8. So really we have the possibility of falling. If there were no possibility for one to fall short of the grace of God, then there would be no need for us to be looking diligently. For the Christian, however, God's grace can be just a prayer away. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. But another one of these pitfalls is letting a root of bitterness spring up. Bitterness can be a stumbling block in our pursuit of peace. It destroys the peace within the person who harbors it. Modern medicine has shown that emotions like bitterness and anger can cause problems such as headaches, backaches, allergic disorders, ulcers, high blood pressure, and even heart attacks. It can destroy the peace in the congregation where it begins to be seen. It also becomes a stumbling block in our pursuit of holiness because the problems that it creates cause many to become defiled or unholy. So if we're going to live to make our path straight for our feet, then we need to clip any root of bitterness in the bud. But he also talks about another pitfall, becoming a fornicator or profane person. Fornication is certainly a pitfall to avoid. The generic term is that it means any sort of sexual immorality, including premarital sex, adultery, homosexuality, and the list goes on. And it is contrary to God's will regarding our sanctification in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 8. Later, in the book of Hebrews, we'll read where God will judge fornicators, Hebrews 13. And it will keep one out of the kingdom of heaven, 1 Corinthians 6, Galatians 5. So therefore, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, let us flee fornication. We also are not to become a profane person. A worldly person who profanes holy privileges by placing them on them a worldly estimate. One doesn't have to be overtly wicked. They can displease God by simply devaluing that which is important to God. Such was the case with Esau, Genesis 25. There's no indication that he was a fornicator, but he was a profane person because he did not proper estimate the value of his birthright. Though later he wanted the blessing of the birthright, it was too late. Despite all his many tears, it was too late to change his father's mind. He found no place for repentance. So we too can profane by devaluing our spiritual blessings. Are we willing to sell our birthright for one morsel of food? You see, as we run the race of faith, peace with others and holiness before God should be our goal. To run the race with style, we need to get in the proper form. Lift the hands, strengthen the knees, helping one another to do so as well. We need to watch out for the pitfalls that can hinder us in our pursuit, such as not using God's grace to help us in our race, allowing bitterness to become a stumbling block, or becoming a fornicator or a profane person. So the question begs to be asked, are you running in such a way as to obtain the imperishable crown? As we run this race, consider the words of Paul, the apostle, in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as the one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I hope that this lesson has been beneficial. If you'd like to discuss with me this lesson even further, I would be glad to meet with you or talk with you. You can just email me if you like at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can go back to the church's website and listen to this lesson again or past lessons. That address is www.churchateastside.com. That's churchateastside.com. You can go over to the right-hand side of the page there and see where it says sermons. Scroll down and listen to this one again or any other sermon that you'd like to listen to. If you'd like to meet with us, we'll meet this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study, 10 a.m. for worship, and again this evening at 5 for a period of worship, and Wednesday evening at 7 for a period of Bible study again. Thank you for being with me.